Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you. Hope you're having a wonderful day, and thank you for taking the time and disciplining yourself to sit down on purpose and study God's Word. And it's a delight and a blessing to have you have us all sit down together in fellowship. I wish we was face-to-face where we could smile and just... The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it is. So today we're going to try to, finish out this study of life that we've been on for almost 23 lessons now or something like that. But we've learned quite a bit about what the Bible says about life. And it is winding down. And the last area that we're going to study this evening that we're going to begin on is life, truth of being. Truth of being. Now, we use that term in English and among one another, and you hear it often where people probably say it and don't even recognize what they're saying or realize or even properly define what they're meaning by being. They say human being. Spiritual being, celestial being, terrestrial being, and all this, and use that term, but, and you know, when they're studying the spaceships and studying the Martians and all that stuff, they use being too. But we're going to see what the Bible says and go over some scriptures and talk about that for a little bit and try to finalize our study on life. What is life? Now, so far, can we answer that question? What is life? I think it's like what we talked about before, that there's really not going to be a definitive answer on what is life. But we're getting down to where we're starting to figure out where we can come to a conclusion about it. We have studied lots of areas having to do with life. We talked about some of man's definitions of life, and then we talked about life, natural, if you remember, and what the Bible had to say about life natural. Then we went into life eternal, and the Bible had a lot to say about eternal life, about how life is eternally, and it wasn't a shame to talk about that. Then we talked about life spiritual. There is such thing as spiritual life. All these movies that they have on TV and all this, ever since broadcasting came about, they've been putting these imaginary things, at least they think they're imaginary, and people say that they're not interested in spirituality. That's hogwash. That's poppycock, because they are. You ought to see all of them, every movie that they watch or every movie out there just about has some kind of spiritual reference to spirituality somehow or another. Everybody knows that there is spiritual life, and the Bible teaches there's spiritual life, but people don't want to get close to the Bible, because then they have to get close to God and start finding out what the truth about spiritual life is. And some facts about spiritual life is not so laughy-laughy, I'm all right, you're all right, everybody's all right, da-da-da-da-da-da. Some of it ain't like that, and the Bible teaches that. We talked about life, the triumphant Christian, and that was good, if you remember. And then we went into some things that the Lord said about life, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the very words that He used concerning life. And the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't ashamed to call Himself life. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." We learned quite a bit in that. And talking about what is life, in every one of them areas that we've already studied, we could define what is life. Life is spiritual. Life is natural. Life is eternal. Life is triumphant. When you have the hope that we have and the joy that we have being born again and being in the body of Christ, there's nothing else like it, is there? We have hope. We don't have hope that we hope we're going to have hope. We have hope that's concrete. We're not hoping to get to heaven. Heaven is our hope. And then we talked about life, a final look, thoughts, and truths, and we broke it down. We talked about some definitions and went over some definitions that's used in the scriptures, and just defined those so that we could, so when we went into these other areas, we could understand what the Bible was talking about a little bit. For instance, human and being, we'll talk about them today. We talked about I and am and that and extant, existent, and real. And then we talked about life truths of breath. And we started getting just a little bit closer to what is life. Because the Bible specifically started bringing things together having to do with spirit and breath and breathed, if you remember, and how close these are knit together in the scriptures. It seems like all of the things that we are talking about are moving in the same direction toward one another and are going to meet at life, doesn't it? So we talked about true life, truths of breath, and then we talked about life, truths of spirit, truths of spirit. And today we're going to begin on life, truths of being. We call ourselves human beings. What exactly are we talking about? Well, let's look at the scriptures and see what the Bible says about being so we can get some clarity on this. Because thy word is truth. If we want truth and we want to solidify something and settle it and put it up on the shelf in our mind to call it doctrine, and this is what I believe and this is why I believe it, then we have to get it from the Bible, from our God's word. And if we get it from there, we can rest on it and call it truth. You know, as we look at some truths here in the scriptures, this could be one of the closest truths yet to answering the question of what is life? Life truths of being. This could be one of the closest truths that we're going to study of the rest that we've been over in answering the question of what is life? Being. What is life? Being. Now, all of us have used this term and have even been addressed as one at some time or another in our lives. Human being. some people don't even believe that they're human being. They believe they're monkey men. That they came from a rock and some goo somewhere and everything else. And deny their human being existence and all that. Well, they're nuts. They're a bunch of nuts. Cashews and peanuts and hazelnuts and walnuts and all kind of nuts all mixed together. Nuts, nuts, nuts. Where they got that kind of idea had to have been from the devil, because he's the only one that come up with something like that and make somebody believe it. Take a look at our definitions that we have. I don't know if you wrote them down or not, but our definitions that we had before we started this portion of the scripture, and let's see what the definition of being is. You remember when we defined being, if you went over them and stuff? Let me read it to you. A definition of being. Now, I got this from probably a regular old dictionary. I don't remember where I got them, but, you know, this is just definitions of it. It's not orthodox, whatever it is. It's just regular old definitions of being, what the dictionary calls being. It's the state or fact of being objectively real. It's the state or fact of being objectively real. In other words, it's real. And it can be observed. And it's a state or a fact of being objectively real. A living thing that has or can develop the ability to act or function independently. You know that old argument about whether a fetus is a human being or whether it's a human being yet. Well, that kind of answers that. A living thing that has or can develop the ability to act or function independently. I always said something about that issue. Well, I got one question about it. If you leave it alone, will it continue to live? Will it continue to live on its own? If you leave it alone and don't do nothing to manipulate it, don't do anything, will it grow? Will it continue to develop? If it does, it's alive. And if it's alive, it has being. There's some people who disagree with that, but I believe that's scriptural. And that's what I believe. And I got some scriptures that talk about that. And I believe the Bible teaches that. And I believe God is a God of life. God doesn't question life. God is life. The state or fact of being objectively real, a living thing that has or can develop the ability to act or function independently. And here's another part of it. Have the quality of being. Have an existence. Be extant. In other words, it's still in existence, not extinct or destroyed or lost. It's existent. Existing. It's living. It's a being. Another part of the definition says to have life. To have being is to have life. To have being is to be alive. And then there's another part here that says to remain unmolested, undisturbed, or uninterrupted. That was a little out in left field. I ain't going to comment on that. But there was one part on the last part here that was interesting to me that it kind of spiritualizes. It says to be priced at. Now, what does that bring to mind as far as being to you, to be priced at? You know what it reminded me of? The Lord Jesus Christ. When he incarnated, when he placed himself, the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and came upon her. And the Lord was conceived in her womb. He became a human being. And after he was born and he grew up and started his ministry, Judas betrayed him. And the Bible talks about that in prophecy, that he was priced. He was priced at. You remember what? 30 pieces of silver, remember? He was priced at. That's just interesting. It doesn't mean anything as far as stopping this and going any further into it. I just thought it was interesting that particular part was under being. And the Lord was priced as a being, a human being. So, being. To have life or to be alive. And you know, as far as the human side of the search for the meaning of what is life, this is pretty close, ain't it? Wouldn't you agree? Being? It's pretty close. The Bible speaks of being and life together. Just like we talked about the spirit and the other things that kind of are in the background when we're talking about it. breath and life and spirit and all of these things. When you're talking about one having to do with the subject that we're on, having to do with life, every bit of it is in the same realm, if you will. And they're all, it's like they're all in a circle and they're headed to the center. And the center is life. And anywhere you look, or anywhere you specifically look, like for instance, breath, the rest of them are in the background. And it's interesting because only God could do that. Only the Lord could do that. And let's just go over this being part and find out some truths, some Bible truths of being. Well, first thing that we find is that while we live, the Bible says, while we live, we have our being. While we live, we have our being. Psalm chapter 104 and verse 33, listen to what it says. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Interesting. While we live, we have our being. That's not all. What else does the Bible say about being? Well, it says that the soul and breath are relational with a man's being. Remember when we was talking about that and how all of it comes together? And every bit of our study is kind of unified as a one study called life. But as we study each individual piece of it, it shows us a different area of life, and all of them are headed to the same thing. Well, what is in the center? What's in the center? What are they headed toward? Or what are they surrounding? The soul and breath are relational with a man's being. Well, how do we know that? Because the Bible says in Psalm chapter 146, verse 1 through 4, listen to this. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and in that very day his thoughts perish. Talking about not trusting in the Son of Man or the arm or strength of men. But notice in that verse how all four of those things are mentioned. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my any being. Soul and being there. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish. You see how all those are intertwined, talking about the same thing? Talking about trusting the Lord and praising the Lord for life, for living and for having our being, and not trusting in man because man cannot control the breath. He can't control his own breath. We went over that, remember? Interesting. The soul and breath are relational with a man's being. The Bible just showed us that. So there's another one that's headed in the same direction, but is a different entity. Soul is different than breath, is different than being. Yet, only God could bring them all together in unity, being one. They're all headed to the center, to something. What is that something? What is life? That's not all about being, life, truths of being. A man's being represents who a man is, both to himself and to others. A man's being represents who a man is, both to himself and others. Listen to Nehemiah, what he said in chapter 6, verse 11, whenever they were talking about trying to get him to go into the temple and have a meeting with these knuckleheads that was trying to deceive him. He said, "And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in." You see, he was talking about that his being was wherever he was present at, and that it represented him. He said, being as I am, my being. Your being represents who you are, both to yourself and to others. That's not all. What else does the Bible teach us about being? Not only does it say that while we live, we have our being. The soul and the breath are relational with a man's being, and that a man's being represents who a man is, both to himself and others. But the scriptures say that a being is substance and fashioned, and God can see it. Did you get that? The scriptures say that a being is substance and fashioned, and God can see it. You say, where does it say that, brother? Psalm chapter 139 and verse 16. The Bible says, "Thine eyes," talking about the Lord, "thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Boy, wouldn't that mess up the natural mind, the natural man's mind? That is spiritual as that can be right there. The Lord said, this man says that the Lord seen him before he was in existence, and he seen all his members that were unperfect, that were being continually fashioned. His substance, his being. "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written." Your being has members, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How about that? A man's being is substance and fashioned, and God can see it. Paul told us, even when he was out of the body, he said, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. He said when he was caught up to the third heaven, he didn't say it was him. He said he knew a man over 14 years ago, and talking about himself, that he was caught up into the third heaven and seen unspeakable things. And he said, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. He knew he had hands and he had members and he had substance, but he couldn't tell whether he was in the body or not. We talked about that the other day, remember, about the spirit and about the soul, and talking about that. The scriptures say that a being is substance and fashioned, and God can see it. You know, it's interesting that the Lord is the way he is, and I'm thankful that he is the way he is, because Jesus said, knowing what was in man, talking about the evil that was in man, that the Lord didn't commit himself to men. In other words, I think what he's talking about, that he didn't commit himself as a man to men so that they could have any control over his being, or in any way, or something around that. We'd have to be at the scriptures for me to explain it. But being a man's being is substance and fashioned, and God can see it. Let's move on. A being is the presence of one. A being is the presence of one. In the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you." A being is the presence of one. Your being is wherever you are present at. Paul said that he was absent from them. He said, "Paul, myself beseeching you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence, when I'm with you, am base among you." But being absent, in other words, his being was where he was at, not with them, but absent, am bold toward you. You see, Paul talked about his being as a presence that was present with him. That was with him, present with him. His being. A being is present, is the presence of one. He said, but being absent, he's talking about who in presence, he's talking about himself by himself as a being, being present where he is. A being is presence of one. That's not all. What else does the Bible say about life, truths of being? There's no such thing as having being without the Lord. The Bible says that there is no such thing as having being without the Lord. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, it says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." It don't get any plainer than that. "For in him we live and move and have our being." If you ever had a question of whether you are a being, truth of being a being, and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, "For we are also his offspring." For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, "For we are also his offspring." There's no such thing as having being without the Lord. What is an offspring? An offspring is the immediate descendants of a person. Something that comes into existence as a result. The Bible says that we are his offspring, and in him we live and move and have our being. So in other words, something that comes into existence as a result of God's life is us, the offspring of the Lord. We could not exist unless the Lord existed. Whoops, there goes Darwinism. Listen to what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 39. "See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." I mean, how do you get it any plainer than that? There's no such thing as having being without the Lord. It's like we was talking about the hippies. And how they say, oh, we're not really here, we just think we're here, man. No, you have a being. You are. You have to grow up to be that stupid. So can anyone define what is life? Or what life is according to what the Bible says? Can we define it yet? We talked about life, truths of being, and we talked about life, truths of spirit. And the Bible talks about all of them. And seems like in the background it's talking about the same thing, doesn't it? Except we're talking about a different part of life. Part of life is being. Part of life is spirit. Part of life is breath. Part of life, and we go on and on and on. And we studied it all. Is eternal? Is natural? I mean, all of these are parts of life. The Bible talks about specifically each and every one of them. Now, we've been over a lot of Bible and seen a lot of scripture concerning life, haven't we? Do you feel like you're confused in any way? Of course not. There ain't nothing to be confused about. The Bible is very specific. Told us the truth about each and every one of them. The Holy Ghost has taught us many different tenses of life. Its origin and its destiny. We've also seen that life covers many different areas depending on what you want to know from the Lord. Do you now understand that man is never going to define life without the Lord and His Word? There's no such thing as defining life without the Lord. People are running to and fro and have been doing that for 2,000 years? Longer than that? Running to and fro. And ever since the Bible said in the beginning, and God created man, put him in the garden, what's man been doing? He's been looking for a definition of life when he gets away from God and gets away from the Lord says. Now, this is why it's such a mysterious thing to the lost and Christ rejectors and how they imagine some of the most preposterous things in their imaginations. Can't find the reasons here on earth. Let's go to the moon. Nope, not there. Let's go to Mars. And you think I'm lying. They're souping up a rocket right now to shoot up to Mars, they say. Nope. How about DNA? How about cloning? Where's life? And on it goes. As we said before, no one's going to find out anything unless that the Lord does not want anybody to know or discover anything that the Lord has hidden. Nobody manipulates the Lord, ever. Life, the way the Scriptures teach, is beautiful. It's the truth. Everything that the Bible teaches us about life is all we need. You know, the Lord could have put one sentence in there and said, life is... But He didn't. He showed us, we've been over almost 30 pages of material and 20-something hours of talking about life. And we know a lot about life that the Bible's taught us, and because it's the Bible and because it's from our God, we can call it doctrine and we can call it truth and we can solidify that in our hearts and in our minds and say that's it. But to say what is life or what is life? Let me suggest something to you. Is it what is life? Where we first began this study about life, we said what is life, what is life? Is it what is life, or is it who is life? Ah, okay. Who is life? Now, all the things in the circle are coming toward the middle, and all of them are relative to one another about life. All the things that we've been studying about life are coming together, but we didn't know how or what is life. Maybe it's not what is life. Maybe it's who is life. And I think we can scratch the maybe. Who is life? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's have a look at a few things about who is life. Remember we talked about natural life is in the body. It is kept alive by the Spirit of man, not the Holy Spirit, remember, which is given to man and controlled by God. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So according to that verse, who is life? God is life. James chapter 2, verse 26, the Bible says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So natural life is in the body, and it is kept alive by the Spirit. And the only way man can have the Spirit to keep his body alive is that God gives it to him. So who is life? God is life. And then we talked about eternal life, remember? Eternal life is in the soul. It is kept alive by God's breath. And God breathed into man's nostrils and man became a living soul. Remember? Eternal life is in the soul. It is kept alive by God's breath. The breath of life, the Bible called it, which is given to man and controlled by God. Listen to what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And we're just going back over the scriptures that we read down through our study. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. How did man become alive or become a living soul? Because God breathed his breath into the man's nostrils. Where did the breath come from? God. What does that make God? Man's life. So what does that mean? Who is life? God is life. Boy, when a nation starts getting corrupt, it forgets a lot, doesn't it? Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, it says, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Of course, we know the Lord Jesus Christ made provision for that. Praise his holy name. We talked about eternal life. We talked about natural life. Natural life is in the body. Eternal life is in the soul. And then we talked about spiritual life. Spiritual life is in the spirit of man, which is kept alive by God the Holy Ghost, uppercase letter, spirit, when a man trusts the gospel. The gospel of the grace of God in the New Testament, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, written in the Word of God. Man's spirit then is supernaturally quickened made alive, regenerated by God the Holy Ghost, moving into his body and saving his soul. Born again. Spiritual life is given to man freely and controlled by God and his word. Spiritual life. It's not what is life. It's who is life. Spiritual life is in the spirit. And how does man get it? Spiritual life is given to man freely. Eternal life, how does man get it? Which is given to man. Natural life, how does man get it? God gave it to him. It's in his breath, remember? That stuff is neat, ain't it? But it's all still coming together. There's no confusion in it at all. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth. Did you hear what it said about your Bible? It liveth and abideth forever. Anytime in your King James Bible that you see the word in the New Testament, and it's uppercase letter, word, it's talking about God. It's not talking about the Bible. It's talking about Jesus Christ most of the time. Anytime that W is capitalized or uppercase in the Bible, in the New Testament, and says word with the uppercase W, it's talking about the person, the word, Jesus Christ. Anytime it's lowercase, it's talking about the written word or the word of God. Okay? Very important. Listen to the Bible in John chapter 6, verse 63. We read that. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Everything going in the same direction. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, this is going to conclude our study. I didn't know how we was going to come out and end this study because it doesn't really end. We've studied 33 pages, and that's interesting that it's 33 because that's how old the Lord was when he finished up when he said, it is finished. And what was finished? Life. He paid for life. He bought life for us. That's neat. But this is going to conclude our study of life. We've no means exhausted the study of life from the Scriptures. We could go on and on and on, but we've studied a lot of material. And none of it's been confusing or went off in left field or went in any ditches or anything. It's not been confusing at all. It's all been in unity. It's conformed to itself. And just like the Scriptures do, they're so beautiful. You read over here and the Lord says, come over here, and you read that and you read this over here and you read it all, and it all just blends right together, rightly dividing the word of truth. But it doesn't. We haven't exhausted this study at all, but we've been over a lot of what life is. But I think that we have come to a conclusion. It's not what is life. We know what life is. Life is natural. Life is spiritual. Life is eternal. Life is triumphant. Life is being. Life is spiritual. We've been over all that. And we know what life is. The thing people need to realize from the Word of God about what life, what the Bible teaches about life, is who is life? Is who is life? We've not exhausted this study, but we have honored the Lord by finding out that all life comes from and returns to Him. And I want to thank you for studying in this study and for studying God's precious Word. If someone asked you right now, what is life? You'd be able to answer that, wouldn't you? You see, because, I mean, we can tell them a whole lot about what the Bible says about what is life. But the bottom line is, after you get through describing any kind of description about what life is according to the Scriptures, no matter what area you talk about, you're going to end up in the same place. And you're going to begin in the same place. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. How about that? And everything in between them two is life, because it's the Lord. Thank you for studying God's precious Word. And if someone asks you what life is, you'd be able to say something now, couldn't you? It's wonderful to have life. And it's wonderful to have a God that loves life, and not only loves life, is life. The way you answer what is life and who is life is, what does the Bible say? What does it say? There's a lot of goofy stuff going on out there in the world that tries to tell you what life is, and it's a bunch of foolish, idiotic, theatrical, comic book strip garbage is what it is. It ain't got nothing to do with life. The Lord said in Revelation chapter 22, verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. What is life? Who is life? The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 25, listen to this. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And then our last verse for this study is one we've read several times passing through, is in Acts chapter 17 and verse 28. Listen to this. For in Him we live, parentheses, spirit, and move, parentheses, body, and have our being, parentheses, soul. As certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are also His offspring. Amen. Amen. Well, there's our study of life. We've concluded it, and I think it's been good, don't you? And definitely worth going over again or just... We've just learned so much about it. And I'm thankful to have learned what we learned. And God's Word never gets old when it comes to life. I'm glad we got a God. Everything about the Lord is life. Everything about Him is life. And when we see Him face to face and get there to be with Him, and He gets rid of these vile bodies, and He puts the devil, gets rid of the devil and sin and everything having to do with the curse, and brings in the new earth, makes the new earth and the new Jerusalem, and the Jews being able to live in the kingdom on the earth, and us living in the new Jerusalem, and the Lord Himself being here, and then later on after that going off into eternity with the Lord and whatever He has planned. And then being able to look back and have a book that told us about it all. And we lived through all that. That's not a fairy tale. That's what men sit back and write. and write stories. It's funny how people write all these books, and it's similar to the way the Lord wrote and gave it all to us from beginning to end. And that's all we needed to know. We just need to believe and trust the Lord. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also your own poets have said. For we are also His offspring. Amen. Life. Thank you for studying life. I think the next study we're going to go into is the letter M. Talk to you on the next recording. Hope you'll join us. We'll talk about something completely different in God's Word and learn something and honor our Lord. Miss Brother Thurman, I've enjoyed studying about life with you. God bless you. Bye-bye.